There we go. We're sorted. Really good to be with you tonight on Hamilton Road. I'm going to do a wee thing tonight with you. I'm going to take you through a wee bit of my life story. So it's going to start out with, first of all, how God worked in my life at a really young age. And then we're going to bring things forward to like the here and now. And we're going to just see a little bit about just what God has been doing in our family's life each day of our life, really from right back then to now, and just to see God's plan in that worked out in the way God does. So I want to read some verses together tonight from the Word of God. And these are going to be verses that you're going to see why I've shared them with you later on. Three little passages from Psalm. Psalm 18 and verse 30, first of all. A really precious verse to us as a little family, and you're going to see why later on. These words, this God, his way is perfect. This God, his way is perfect. Then Psalm 66 and verse 12. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. Psalm 66 and 12. And then finally from Psalm 94. If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have lived in the land of silence. When I thought my foot slips, your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolation cheers my soul. I was brought up in East Belfast, and you might think, well, you don't really sound as if you're from East Belfast. You see, my mum was from Londonderry, and my dad was from a little place called Victoria Bridge outside Strabane. There's a road between Strabane and Omagh, and if you blink as you're going down the road, you've missed Victoria Bridge, okay? That's where Dad was from. So they came to work in Belfast, and that's where we as kids were born. And both my parents were both Christians. So you know how it goes, if you're born into a home where there's Christians, you go to everything going that goes on in a church. That was the same for me, okay? Anything going at all, if the place was open, I was there. That's what happened. You just had to be there. So like from that height, I'd heard the Christian gospel message. I knew it. I could have told you it. And I remember as well the night when I put my faith and trust in Jesus. We lived in a little bungalow house in just off the Castlereagh Road in Belfast. And my mum was a real godly wee woman. She knew God. She knew God. And she spent so much time with us as kids, just pouring into our lives, talking to us and reminding us about the wonders of who God is, telling us about the beautiful things about Jesus. That's what she did. She just poured time and effort and energy into bringing us to know God and telling us about Jesus. And it was at an age of 7, I remember the night so clearly, there was a little room in the back of that bungalow. It was a little living room. And there's a little fire. And each night before we went to bed, we all gathered around. So we had two older sisters and I were sitting around with Mum. And Mum had the Bible down and she was reading to us and doing a wee bit of reading from the Bible before we went to bed. But we used to love to get talking about people who lived in the past. Mum, being brought up in Londonderry, had lots of stories from the start of the Troubles. I used to love that as a kid. Hearing about how they were running out of offices and getting down to a place of safety before a bomb would go off. Those sorts of things for me as a kid, which is amazing. You just love to hear those stories. So we used to love to hear Mum talking about those sorts of things happening in the past. And sure enough, we got her on with that night on to talking about family members who had lived in the past. And Mum had told the stories, and I'm not going to go into the details of what the stories were, but at the end of that story, for me, the really obvious question seemed to be, well, look, was that person a Christian? And I remember, usually in these stories, okay, when Mum was talking about family members and stuff, usually the answer to that was yeah. Yeah, that person was a Christian. But this night, as Mum was sharing this story, and we asked the question, well, what about that person? Remember Mum explaining, you know, that person never told anybody that they'd become a Christian. She didn't say any more. But it just got me thinking. Got me a little thinking, well, what about that person? And it got me then reflecting back to me, because I actually was asking it this other person, but I wasn't a Christian. I didn't have a living relationship with Jesus. I wasn't saved from my sin. And it was then that I started to focus on myself and thinking, you know, I'd like to be a Christian. I'd like to know that my sin, the problem between me and God, I'd love to know that was taken away. I'd love to know that was removed. I'd love to know that I had a relationship with this God that I'd heard so much about. And it was that night, through those simple words in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It was through those words, just hearing them, understanding them, that Jesus had left heaven because he loved me. And he died on the cross for me. Died for my sin on the cross. And it was that night I realized, yeah, that was for me. Jesus died for me. Jesus died to take away the sin in my life. And it was that night I asked Jesus to come in and to save me. Seven. Such a simple thing. But we know, for those of us that are Christians, we know it's a life-changing thing when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. That was at the age of 7. But I'm going to bring you on to another date tonight, 26th of June 2008. Another day I'll not forget. A day I walked down an aisle with my wife Claire, and we were setting out in married life together. It's an exciting thing to set out in married life together. It's wonderful to know that you're setting out to go in the direction that God has for you together. That's a special thing, a really special thing. But there's an unknown in that as well. There's an unknown as to what is ahead of you as you're setting out on that journey with God together. And we didn't know as a couple, Claire and I didn't know as a couple, about what was ahead of us and what God's plans were for us at that time. Claire was also a Christian. And it was the Lord Jesus that brought us together. It was he that united us. He was the big thing that we had in common together. And as we were setting out to go out and marry life together, we had words of this hymn. You maybe can see it's quite small, maybe, behind you. These are the words that we sang that day we got married. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his faithful mercies? Who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, e'er by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. We didn't know what was ahead of us. And we didn't know that we were going to be put to test in these words that we were singing on the day of our marriage. All the way my Savior leads me, and he cheers each winding path I tread, gives me strength for every trial, and he feeds me with the living bread. And though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be gushing from a rock before me, though a spirit joy I see. We were setting out, singing those words, meaning those words, knowing we were going out and marry life together, knowing that God was going to be our guide, that God was going to be with us, but we didn't know what was ahead of us. Early on in our married life, we had suffered a number of miscarriages, and that was something I think particularly for Claire was, you know, she was very emotional about that. I found that quite difficult as the male in the house. You know, how do I support my wife? You know, because, you know, she's crying, you know, what's this about? And you want as your husband to your wife to be as caring and loving and to be able to be as much a support to her as they possibly could. And we then came to the 30th of June 2012. And we'd just been on our summer holidays to Gran Canaria. And we were overjoyed. We were coming back. Claire had done a little test when we were away. And we knew that once again she was expecting. I suppose with that, a little bit of apprehension, not knowing perhaps what lay ahead of us at this time. And that brought us forward then to the August, the end of that August time, and going for the 12-week scan. Now, if you have any high hopes really of seeing much of the 12-week scan, I learned you don't really see very much. Because we went in for the 12-week scan, we got to hear a little thub of a noise, and we were told everything was okay. And off we left the hospital again, off we were going home, wonderful news, knowing that there was a little one on the way, and it was starting to develop. And everything was going swimmingly well, until we came forward to the 25th of October, that same year. And this time it was the 20-week scan. A little bit more detail this time. So we're going to see a little bit more, we hoped. We're going to be able to see that little one moving and so on inside. And we were really looking forward to this. We were heading up to the Ulster Hospital. We were waiting in the waiting room, not knowing really what was ahead of us. And eventually we were called into the little scanning room. And as we were there, Claire got up in the bed. The sonographer had started the process of scanning Claire. And in those very early moments, we realized something was wrong. Because as she was scanning back and forward, she seemed to be taking quite a bit of time over it. And she left to go and get another colleague. And the colleague came in as well, and they started to have a little bit of a look. And at that point in time, we were told that there were a number of issues and that we would need to wait to speak to a consultant. So we were, and at that stage, well, the sonographer had mentioned that there were an issue with the limbs of this little one. Now, I suppose from our point of view, your mind starts to go and you're thinking, well, if there are issues with limbs, what else are there issues with, isn't it? That's where you start to go. So we were put into a little side room and we were there waiting for this doctor to come to meet with us to tell us a little bit more about this little one. And as we were there, we were waiting. It seemed like for ages. It seemed absolutely ages. We knew something significantly was wrong. And what just kept coming to us again and again was, look, we've got to trust God. We've got to trust God. We trust God for our salvation, the eternal bit. We're down here now for the temporary bit. We've got to trust God for this as well. Lots of unknowns, lots of things that we weren't going to be sure about, but we've got to trust God. I was always told growing up that it wasn't a good thing to flick open your Bible and ask God just to speak to you. I was never good at doing what I was told. And sure enough, that day in that little room, I just did. I left out a little pocket testament that had in my coat and I flicked it open. And the verse that God gave to us that day, because that's what I believe it was, a word from God, and it was that verse from Psalm. Psalm 18 and verse 30. This God, his way is perfect. This God, his way is perfect. As we met that consultant, it seemed strange because the words the consultant was using were altogether different. They were the words of significant abnormalities with this little one. And yet, the word just a few moments before that, that God had spoken to us was, he told us that his way was perfect. I don't know about you, but definition-wise, you know, perfect and significant abnormalities is somewhat different. How does that work? Significant abnormalities was actually what these guys were saying before us. And yet God was telling us that his way is perfect. So how do you get your head around that? Well, those next number of weeks and months, Claire ended up being scanned quite a bit. She ended up being treated a wee bit over in the Royal Hospital in the School of Fetal Medicine. And we ended up there seeing very much the detail of this little one, seeing the range of the difficulties and challenges that were going to be. Now, I should have said right at that early outset, there was an awful lot of pressure being put upon us to consider aborting this little one. Because we were told to consider what difficulties this was going to bring us in life. Going to think about how this was really going to change our life if we were to go ahead with this pregnancy. But for us, we were very sure that God had blessed us with this little one. Were there going to be challenges? Absolutely. Were there going to be difficulties? Of course there were. But what had God told us? God had told us that what this was that he was doing in our lives and going to do in the lives of this little one, he was telling us that this was going to be perfect. Each of those scans seemed to just confirm what we already knew, those scans that came in the following weeks. Abnormalities, absence of limbs. But generally, there seemed to be a consensus that most of the other organs seemed to be in the right place. We were encouraged to have an amniocentesis, that is a needle being placed in to take some amniotic fluid to try and test to see what other issues may be present. We decided not to, simply because of the risk of miscarriage, and we didn't want to lose this little one through any actions that we would take. That brings us forward to the 15th of January, 13. We had previously had the little 3D scans done. We had been able to watch our little one develop each step of the way. We've been able to watch a little shortened arms being used by our little one and flicking back and forward across his little mouth. And it was a really special thing. But when we came to this day, the 15th of January 2013, Claire was raced into hospital by ambulance. This was around the 30-week mark. This was on the Monday. The Sunday just before it, the midwife had been in with Claire and had asked that question. I remember, usually you have about another 10 weeks to go. The midwife had asked the question, you know, well, look, are you prepared? Have you things ready? To which we both, it was that awkward look to each other. Well, and it was a smirk of, no, not quite. But it's amazing what you can do in an afternoon in Amazon. I think most of the items that arrived for the little one that was about to arrive ended up arriving with our neighbours, and we ended up just going, I was the one who was going uselessly just to pick those up and unpack them and unwrap them and have them there ready. Claire was brought in that next week, and our little boy was delivered by section. Now, we were told as we were getting into this scene not to expect to cry. I suppose in our heart of hearts we knew what the doctor was really saying was, look, don't expect there to be life here that'll last. That's really what we thought he was saying, was like, don't expect there to be a cry here. And yet as we went in, one of the most wonderful sounds I have to say I've ever heard was the cry as that little one opened up his mouth. And there was that high-pitched little square scream. What was it? It was precious. That's what it was. It was life. This was life. God had given us this little life. We didn't have very much time with Reuben at that stage, because Reuben was taken from us and he was whisked up to ICU, a place that he was going to stay for a good number of weeks. He was born in an afternoon, 1642, 2 pounds and 2 ounces. That's about a bag of sugar, I suppose, really. 2 pounds and 2 ounces. Claire obviously was recovering after the section, and that evening I got to go down and into ICU for the first time. For those who aren't anyway medically minded at all, ending up in a hospital, end up going down into this ward full of these lots of these little incubators, I say it'll be an image I'll not forget. Lots of these little beds, lots of wires, lots of different instruments, lots of different sounds, just different smells as well. It's a very different experience. And being taken down to this little incubator and looking in to this little one. From the head, top of his head, down to the base of his bottom, you know, about 20 centimetres. And this was our little boy. This was Reuben Samuel Walls. He was always going to be a Reuben if he was a boy. And then actually there had been so many people praying for us as a family right across the world. We had friends who were travelling in Canada, and they popped into a church and they were praying for Claire and Stevie in Belfast. Amazing, isn't it? The links across the world. The family that we as Christians are part of. And they were praying for us over there. Absolutely, absolutely amazing. And here was this little one before us. And each day, we just continued to pray for him. Pray that God would continue to strengthen him. Pray that he would continue to develop and grow. His little lungs were intact, and that was miraculous again because he was born so young. Little brain, perfect development, no issues. God was just answering those prayers of the different Christians who were praying for this little boy at that time. As we looked each time when we would go to visit Reuben, there would be different news on different days. There'd be different news. Some days there was positive news. Some days there were real developments. Other days there were blips. There were times where Reuben hit with infection. And he was on antibiotics, and you were going up again just to see how things would go. We spent lots of time at the hospital over those following weeks at that period of time. And it was lovely for Claire eventually to get down to see Reuben, to see her little boy, because it was a while before she was able to get down onto the ward. Just a beautiful thing to go in and eventually to hold him as well. That was Reuben through the little window on the incubator. That's my little wedding ring right down his arm at that stage, because that's how small and how sort of tiny he was at that stage, just so frail. And that was the night we got him out of the incubator for the first time, to be able to hold him and just to be able to hug him together. It was such a beautiful, beautiful thing, sort of thing that parents just always long for, particularly if you're in that situation where your child is in an incubator and you seem so far away from them. And that was Reuben then out of the incubator and starting to do and get a little bit stronger. Reuben was then transferred over to the Dundonald Hospital, over to special care, and he was there really until then he got out of hospital. And again, there were ups, there were downs, there were concerns about eyes. Then we were told no concerns. So each of those trials, each of those difficulties, really we knew those the truth of that word, those words in Psalm 66. The fact that for us, we'd gone through fire and through water, yet God was bringing us out to an abundant place. Reuben had further surgery as well at that young age, and again, just different things that needed to be dealt with. But eventually we got to bring Reuben home, and I remember bringing Reuben home for the first time. There were lots of things we were doing for the first time, as any first-time parents, but there were lots of things that we were doing differently as first-time parents as well, things that perhaps you wouldn't think about. For example, nappies. How do you do nappies without lower limbs? That was a messy one to work out, I'll tell you. We ended up using a lot of tape, and that was our way around it. And with Reuben, really, as he's gone on and developed from then, that's what we found. There are many things, many, many things that Reuben can do, but we just have to find sometimes different ways for him to be able to do them. And so this was Reuben. Let me see, bring him forward a wee bit. This was actually just after we got Reuben out of hospital. Many of you, I'm sure, may know of Brian from outside Ballymena. Brian was born a thalidomide. He didn't have upper limbs. And just after we'd Reuben out of hospital, he was no more than a week. He was speaking down in the Crescent in Belfast. And we went over, took Reuben with us. And it was, for us, it was just lovely just to hear him share his experience of growing up with this disability. And yet to hear of how God was using him was just something absolutely truly amazing. He had talked about how that there were times when well-meaning people were putting him, putting sets of arms upon him, things that were made of metal, things that were very clunky and that just weren't working for him. And he encourages his parents to really listen to our child and said, just like if your child says something's working for them, you go for it. And if it's going to work, you go with it for him. But don't just be taking professionals' advice. Go with what Reuben tells you as well. And we've tried to keep that in our mind, I suppose, as we've been going forward. Very much listening to the different professionals that are involved with Reuben's care, but also very much listening to Reuben as to how he's telling us the things are for him as well. This was our first holiday away with Reuben. We decided to go for the heights of Donegal. That was close enough, so Altlegelvin was within reach, just in case. And again, that was interesting. First time for Reuben to be on the beach, to be able to down on the ground. First time actually with pictures as well, with wee ice cream on this beach as well. A lovely family experience to be away with him. And this is the first, I suppose, of many adventures with Reuben. Lots of things he's been able to do and to take very much in his stride as well. This is Reuben over at Musgrave. These guys over at Musgrave have been amazing with Reuben. This is Reuben's first little mole for his prosthesis that was being made. And just a little mole being taken of his arm to be able to try him wearing something on his arm. Again, he found it interesting at times. He used it at times. He just pulled it off and used to suck it like a dummy. And that was the use of his little prosthesis at the time. Actually, now he's got to the point where he's just rejected that and decided he doesn't want it, and we've gone with that. As parents, we're happy with that. At least he's tried it. He may decide in the future that he'll come back to that and give that a go at some stage in the future as well. Reuben's first Christmas time, sitting there with his wee party hat on and enjoying just what was going around. One of the big things for Reuben is just lots of smiles and giggles from him. And we had that right from the very, very outset. Lots of smiles, lots of enjoyment just with what has been happening with him. This was a little wheelchair that we were given by the Phoenix Gas charity here in Northern Ireland. This was his first little thing called a WYSIBUG. And it's an amazing little bit of kit. Of course, the way things work with NHS is you can't get a wheelchair until you can use one. Work that one out. Okay? So this gas charity, they produced and gave Reuben this little wheelchair, which was amazing for him. He was able to use it very, very quickly, got onto the controls of it. And this got him moving for the first time at speed, because up until then it was him pulling himself along, you know, shuffling along the ground, a lot of effort, a lot of energy being taken up. But actually now he had actually got speed. He was able to go places. And this, I have to say, it's a class wee bit of kit, but it's also very heavy. And we soon learned when Reuben was coming your way, you get out of the way. Because again, if he goes over your toe, you will know about it. So you need to get out of the way if you see him coming with that. This is him outside just enjoying himself, just like any other kid, being out in the back garden, able to enjoy himself, able to go up. And I don't have a little video for later. I was going to show you a wee video of him actually going up, his first time going up a set of steps to go on the slide. It's about 7 or 8 steps up. And it's just to see the amount of effort, energy, determination, and then that big smile at the top when he knows he's got there as well. So that's Reuben. And this was a verse. This was one of our first verses to teach him. We felt it was a really important verse to teach him. Psalm 139, verse 14. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. We had been approached by Q Radio a number of years ago to come and to take part in a Ballymena show on a lunchtime period. And that was what we thought we were going up to. Little did we know it was actually going out across Northern Ireland that day on that lunchtime period. We were there to speak about 10 minutes just about Reuben and about his life and about just the different challenges and difficulties and just the progress as well that Reuben had been making as well. It was an amazing opportunity to have to do and to be able to take at that stage. And the radio program, the radio presenter turned to Reuben and said to Reuben, "Reuben, is there anything you would like to say?" And obviously the Sunday was like just before that when we had been going over this verse with Reuben. And this was it. He was just repeating it all the time. And right out live on air in Q Radio, Reuben quotes this verse, Psalm 139, verse 14. "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? That is so true. We believe that God has perfectly formed Reuben in the way that he has designed him. And it is wonderful. It is really wonderful when you see this little boy so full of life, going at life at 100 mile an hour. That's just Reuben. He's been such a blessing to us. Are there difficulties? Are there challenges along the way? Of course there are. Of course, are there struggles? Absolutely. For Reuben, yes. There will continue to be struggles throughout life at times. But it's just been amazing to see how that God has been working in this little lad's life. That was just in the radio, just where they were recording the radio program. Then along came Naomi. So he now is a big brother. Naomi is nearly three. She's going to be three now in about 3 weeks' time. And again, she has been a great wee blessing to the family as well. Naomi has not been born with any disability, but it's wonderful just to see how they complement each other and how they are just usual, typical brother-sister stuff going on as well. They can kill each other with kindness at times, and then at other times they can kill each other. That's a brother and sister thing really, isn't it? And it's been great to see how that she helps him. She does things with him. Sometimes she will do things for him as well. One of the challenges for us up to this point of time was looking at housing and how a house was going to work for Reuben. And we've just literally come out of the end of some building work being completed at home, where now everything in effect for Reuben is accessible. About four weeks probably before we moved in, Reuben was really upset one of the days, and Claire was asking him what he was worried about. And he was saying he'd been made a tiny boy and there were lots of things that he couldn't reach and that were out of his reach. And Claire was reminding him, well, look at our house is being worked on at the moment. When you get into our house, you'll actually be able to reach everything. And sure enough, that is what has now happened. When Reuben hits the back door of our house, he's able to put a pin code in and the door automatically opens. He's able to go inside. He's able to go into a kitchen where there's a little section that's totally his. Everything down low where he's able to go in and get what he needs when he needs it. We went and we researched fridges and freezers. Oh boy. We were able to eventually get one that Reuben could get his arm, a little shortened arm around and in, and he was able to open so that he can get in and actually help himself when he wants. And he is loving it. He is absolutely loving it. Each indoor door then and inside the house is all accessible. Reuben just puts his hand over a little sensor and the door automatically opens. That brings him right through into his bedroom where everything again is down at his level. And he's his own little shower room. A shower that's down at this height. A little basin that sits down about here. A little bath that's down about 30 centimeters off the ground. So everything is built around Reuben. Each of the light switches and sockets in their house are all down about 700, down about this sort of height, so that he can reach and use everything within the house. Reuben has been a real blessing to us. It's been lovely just to see the sheer determination at times as he will try and continue to try until he manages to do something. We pray that he will continue to have that same determination as he just takes each challenge before him and goes for it. Reuben has transferred across at the end of nursery school from a special nursery unit into a mainstream primary school. He is now in P2 and is coping amazingly well. He's in a big year group of about 90 children. And to them, after the first few weeks, it's just Reuben. It's just Reuben. And off he goes and again moves around the school so quickly and again just happy in what he's learning. A little boy who's very switched on with all the disabilities that he has. God has blessed him with many other abilities as well. Abilities that we pray that God will use for his glory and his honor. That was little sister arriving. That was wee bit out of sync there. So that's Naomi. That was the time when Mummy had nipped off to the toilet. We decided to put her on Reuben's low-loading truck. So yeah, just for a wee picture before Mummy came back again. And that's Reuben just in her last two short holidays ago over in Blackpool. So there we have it. Reuben is involved in so many different experiences. He plays a lot of wheelchair games, a lot of wheelchair sports. This is his latest bit of kit. His latest wheelchair will rise up and down. He can do things at higher levels. There's like a built-in step at the front of it that the guys over at Musgrave built for us that he can actually jump up onto and get on into his seat himself and get back out again when he wants to as well. So basically he is independent. That was actually meant to be a wee question. How many kids can you get on an electric wheelchair? The answer is 5, and please don't tell them at Musgrave or I'll be dead the next time we go over. So that's just Reuben. He loves being with his cousins, and they all just jump on with him as well. And that was his first day in primary school as well. So what have we learnt from this experience of having Reuben? Well, we've learnt the faithfulness of God through it. We have learnt that God has a plan for each of our lives. We've seen that very evidently. And sometimes there will be experiences that come our way in life that we wouldn't choose, that we wouldn't pick if they were set out before us with it as a number of choices. And yet God will bring us at times to those experiences, and he will use them as a blessing to us and as a blessing to other people as well. It's been lovely for us to hear of Reuben telling us that already he's trusted Jesus as a savior. That's the wow moment. And that for us is a knowledge that God is in this, that God has plans and purposes for this little life. And we are just praying that God will use him mightily for his glory. And as we're here tonight with different brothers and sisters in Jesus, I just want to ask you to pray for him too. And pray that God will use his little life so that it will do significant things for the kingdom of God. So that there will be other people that will hear about Jesus through Reuben. So that there will be other Christians who will be built up in their faith through Reuben's experience and through Reuben's story. And we just love, for us as a family, one of our favorite verses, if I just flick on forward to it here, it's from that passage in John chapter 9. I'm going to read this with you. It says, "And his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him.'" See, that for us is what we believe is the purpose in Reuben's story, in Reuben's life, that the very works of God might be displayed in him. And that's where we are praying that we will see his parents, God working in him, God working through him for his glory and for his honor. For us, the reality of knowing God has been the big thing in this situation. Knowing that our God is good. Knowing that our God will not make plans that will be for our detriment. Knowing that our God is good and makes plans that are for our good. It is that has helped us to deal with this situation that he's put us in, that he has blessed us with. It's knowing that God is good. And it's in the middle of those challenges that we can sing that and we can say that. That never once have we ever walked alone. Never once has he left us on our own. Why? Because he's faithful. He is a faithful God. And that for us has been the big thing about being blessed with Reuben, is we have experienced the faithfulness of God each day. And we pray that as Reuben grows up, that he too will experience the faithfulness of God each day as he lives his Christian life as well.